Well, our scripture passage from Isaiah has this wonderful vision of a future that God has. There's this future, and I think some of the major attributes are these. These ones I'll pick on anyway. Joy, freedom, and peace. Joy, freedom, and peace. Walking in the great light that God's going to shine on God's people, they're going to find joy, freedom, and peace. Good stuff. Good stuff. But they come at a time for God's people, at one of the worst times for God's people. In a really, if you will, dark time. If you remember the last few weeks, we've been kind of going through that Old Testament. We've been talking about prophets who are speaking to the northern kingdom of Israel. The first one was Elijah. And Elijah was literally at war with the prophets of false gods, of Baals, they called them in the day. And it was so bad that the king and queen of Israel were behind the prophets of Baal and against Elijah. It was an ugly time. Of course, with some of these prophets, they were saying, you know, you're going to pay. But this is not going to turn out well for you. And again, last week you had Pastor Daniel talk about how Amos was a prophet, and he saw how unjust the land was. How they were taking advantage of poor people, of widows, of vulnerable people. And they were misusing their power against them, and it wasn't turning out well, and you could hear underneath, this is not going to turn out well for you. Well, our prophet Isaiah today, it has not turned out well for them. The great nation, the growing power of the region, was a nation called Assyria. And it's around 720 BC, a long time ago, Assyria's forces came down and crushed the northern kingdom of Israel. They killed most of the people. That's hard to imagine, but that's how they did it back then. They killed most of the people. They haul some off as slaves. And what Assyria later does is they're going to repopulate it with people that will be supportive of them in that northern kingdom. So that 10 tribes of Israel are wiped out, never to return. Right there. They're wiped out. And that's why in this prophecy we hear Isaiah saying, the people who walked in darkness, in a land of deep darkness. And it was a land of deep darkness. Well, that sort of thing still goes on today, and some of it happens in that same area still today. The one I think of is Aleppo, Syria. It was really an economic engine, one of the great economic engines for the nation of Syria. And of course, if you know, it has been filled with war the last, half dozen years or so. And if you see pictures looking down, and I encourage you to go look at them, of Aleppo, Syria, it's rubble. The buildings, there's a lot of cement buildings, and they're toppled, their walls are blown open, the roofs are shot off, and it's just rubble all over in the streets, caved in and pockmarked, wires and rebar and all this hanging around. It's just this destroyed place. And you can imagine, say, a business person from Aleppo fleeing, having to flee that. And, the families were caught up in it. Remember, I 3 years ago when I toured Israel, I talked to a Syrian refugee family, a farmer, who fled with his family when the bombs started falling on him into Jordan. I mean, how's he going to go back? Other people are there now, his business, his truck, how is he going to lay claim to his land? I mean, how do you get started anywhere to rebuild, to do anything? There's no water, there's no power in many of these areas. There's no people to feed even hardly in some of these areas. It's been wiped out. It's been a long time since our country has faced that kind of thing. You go back to the Civil War, we get there. Cities at that time were burned, rebuilt a lot with wood, and they just burned them down. They burned the entire city down, Fredericksburg, for instance, burned to the ground. Many, many lost lives in the Civil War. We forget how bloody that was. We've been in a much more privileged place of late. But I find that to be human, to walk in this world, there's always some level of darkness. And if there's not too much darkness right now, we fear it coming. I think that's kind of where we are at today. There's a lot of anxiety, not because it's so bad maybe right now, but we're afraid it's tipping that way. The darkness is not far, and it's probably true. Some of the strengths we've had as a nation are our economic strength, and we worry about how that's getting diffused and maybe lowered with rising power, especially in Asia, of China. We're doing all these piddly little warfare, cyber war, political issues with Russia, and we have this little upstart nation that all it has is nuclear weapons called North Korea, and we wonder where that's going to go. Could it create darkness? Oh, just a dinky little power. For us as a country, we worry about the coming darkness. We're so divided. A lot of the values we've held true seem to be fading away, and there's a huge gap between the haves and the have-nots, and where is this all going to be? We have issues around race and sexuality and abuse and things out there, and it's creeping in on us, this darkness. On our personal lives, we all have some darkness, whether it's from health, mental or physical. Things hanging on us, bad habits or thoughts or whatever it might be. But there's always some darkness out there. For these people, so destroyed beyond what I think most of us could ever imagine. He said, for the people walking in darkness in the land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined. And I think what the prophet Isaiah is trying to do is get him to imagine this future where this light is shining again, where something good is happening. The first thing he said, God has multiplied the nation. Remember, they've been destroyed. There are many of the people dead. They just need to be repopulated. They need children. They need families. They need to grow it back because it's gone. That God would do this for them, repopulate for them. That they would find joy like at the harvest. Again, these were a lot of farmers, subsistence farmers. And farming is hard work and the need of God's blessing through rain. So you need both of those things to get the success, the joy of the harvest. And it doesn't always work out that way, does it, in this world? We can plant and we can till and it doesn't happen, but they will find in this time of light from God, joy. Success of the harvest, exalting like dividing plunder. You know, it was a world of scarcity back then. We have these huge stores full of abundance all around us. But in the ancient world, they didn't have that. If you wanted to find abundance, you pretty much had to sack a city and take the spoils. So as much as that's a negative image, there was a sense that there would be abundance for them there. That there would be the yoke of the burden, the bar across their shoulder, and the rod of the oppressor, it says, will be broken. Of course, once Assyria conquered them, they put their soldiers there and made sure they enforced their laws and extracted their riches, their taxes from the people. And so they were oppressed in that way. And that these things would be lost, that they would have their freedom and their independence back. They could make their own choices. Do as they wanted to do. And all these good things, I suppose the question that hangs in the air, that God's great light coming is, how is that going to happen? And this is our passage we look to today. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, and so forth. You know, when we look for change in the world, we often look for new leadership. Whether it be political or a sports team or business, whatever have you, you know, change comes through new leadership. And God is saying, my change is going to come through this child, this new child. And he's going to have to be to rebuild this thing, to make it come back to a place of great light. There's going to be some pretty big things that are going to have to happen. And he's going to need a lot of wisdom of a wonderful counselor. He's going to need strength like a mighty God. He's going to need staying power because it's not going to happen overnight. Everlasting Father. And you know, most kings in the ancient world were warrior kings. They were warrior kings. This one will be the Prince of Peace, the one who brings peace to the place. A Prince of Peace. He'll bring righteousness and justice to this land. So Isaiah is casting this vision of this new day. And I think, too, we who may not have it as dark as they do, but still know some level of darkness, still need to be reminded of this. That there might be joy for us who are sad for the losses. It might be joy for us who have worked hard at things and not always found that the rain has come and blessed them, but they've ended up to go nowhere, that we have been futilely working at things and we're not getting the harvest. That there is going to be, through our efforts and God's blessing, good things for us. And that's joy. That's the source of joy, isn't it? When the stuff works out, our plans, our intentions, our hard work come together, and it works out. There's joy there. There's freedom for us. Now, I know the oppressors aren't soldiers and, you know, all that stuff that they had in the ancient world, but we still find oppression in our day, and sometimes it feels like it comes from our own thinking. Our own negative thoughts, our own spirals of worries about all these different things, our own emotional states that just don't go away, our desires that keep sucking us in, our bad habits, our addictions even, that just pull us forward relentlessly. That those could be broken. I mean, he bragged of it in the scripture of like the day of Midian, this great battle where Gideon led the forces to surround the Midianites with jars with torches in them, and then broke them all, and the Midianites, which was a more powerful army, saw all these lights all of a sudden appear around them and were afraid and ran. That our stuff that oppresses us might be broken that quickly. That's hopeful. And that we might know peace in the conflicts. Conflicts in our country, the conflicts in our family, conflicts all over, that God was... It's not one that's wanting more and more conflicts, but God would find us peace in the world, peace in our souls. That new day would come for you and me. You know, Jesus walked up to a crowd of people. And in the center, they told him, was a woman they found caught in adultery. And they asked him, according to the law, of course, they quoted, they said, we should be stoning this woman. What do you think, teacher? Of course, he said to them, you without sin cast the first stone. It was right after this that Jesus stood among the people and said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. For whoever follows me, we'll never walk in darkness, but we'll have the light of life. That light of life is knowing that joy, that freedom, that peace. I am the light of the world. Whoever among you follows me will have the light of life. You know, I think that's Christ's word for you today. That walking as a follower of this person, this Jesus, walking in him is a walking in light where you come across even in the darkness. The darkness isn't going away, is it? There's always going to be plenty of it on this side of the death. There's a light of life. And it has joy for you. It has freedom for you. It has peace for you. So when you get to this Thanksgiving coming up, and you wonder what to be thankful for, here it is. I am the light of the world. You have this Jesus with you. Amen.